Yes, sir.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to move to call to order the Saturday, March 27, 2021 regular meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Welcome, everyone, to a nice Saturday morning. A couple of housekeeping issues. We're going to start in just a moment with the open public comment period. I want to just mention this for the public primarily. We will then go into agenda item 14 and 15, which we did not get to yesterday. That is deer general season and special permits. That'll be a briefing and public comment. And 15 is elk general season and special permits, briefing and public hearing. We will then get back on our regular agenda. We do not have any breaks scheduled this morning, so I'm going to suggest that we'll just do rolling breaks. If somebody has to get up and get a coffee, et cetera, go ahead and do that. So we can try and get back as close to schedule as possible. So we will move into agenda item 17 now. Nikki, would you do the intro, please? Vice Chair Baker, before we move on.
Larry, just a point of clarification. We talked about ways to maximize the number of people that we can hear from, and that was part of the reason that we got slowed down yesterday, because we really do need to. Point of these meetings is to hear from the public. Did we decide to ask testifiers if they are going to testify in open public, in the open public meeting section, on things other than the specified next two agenda items to come?
I think that's a great point you make. Yeah. If you'd like to speak to that, when we first go in, go ahead and speak to the public now on it, if you'd like, because you're all warmed up on it. And I think it makes sense.
And Amy might help me. I think that we discussed this, and in order to maximize the number of people to come before us, we'd like you not to say the same thing twice in one morning. We will hear you just as well on the first time. So for open public comment, that's mostly for people who have things to say other than agenda items, whatever. It's mostly deer and elk, correct?
14 and 15, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and so if you're going to speak on deer and elk, please wait until those agenda items come up. If you want to talk to us about anything else at all, please talk to us now. I think that pretty much sums it up.
I think that's well said. Anybody have any issues with what Barbara just articulated? Okay, thank you, Barbara. I saw Don McIsaac's hand up. Don, did you want to speak as well?
Well, she said it very nicely. The purpose of the open public comment, we decided, was for matters that were not elsewhere on the agenda, to avoid what we'd seen before, some double dipping for people wasn't appropriate. So there's other agenda items. They have their own public comment. It's also more focused for commissioners to hear from people at the moment the issue is there. We heard some testimony yesterday morning on rimfire turkey during open public comment. We're graduating into this whole system. You know, it'll take a little bit to phase in, but it's much more meaningful to hear that when you're talking about turkey management than it is to try to remember what was said when the issue is right at hand. For those of us that are sitting through, what is it, 19 agenda items today?
Yes. Yeah.
Or this meeting, I mean.
This meeting. Yeah, just to reiterate what Vice Chair Baker and Commissioner McIsaac said, we are not trying to exclude anyone's opportunity to address us. But it is absolutely a fact that to hear it during an agenda item, what your comments are on deer, elk, turkey, fish, is much more valuable to us than it is hearing it under the open public comment segment. So having said that, we'll move on if we're good at that. Nikki, go ahead and do the intro on the open public comment, please. Peace, please.
We'll now take public comment from registered attendees. As a reminder, everyone receives 3 minutes for comments unless the allotted time is modified by the chair at the onset of the agenda item. Everyone is currently muted. When it is your turn to speak, be recognized by your partial phone number or your Zoom username and will be unmuted by staff. I'm going to start first with Rachel Bjork. She was giving testimony yesterday on sheep and she was basically cut out. And so I just reached out to her and said, hey, do you want to give your testimony again so people can actually hear you? And she said yes. So we're going to do her real quick. Go ahead, Rachel.
Morning, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. Actually, I want to talk about goats, the mountain goats, not the sheep, but
okay.
Apologies for the technical difficulties. I do believe you heard me say that I wanted a second Martha Hart, but the rest of what I have to say is that I have been disappointed at how the mountain goats have been treated by the department, in particular the ones that were on the Olympic, in the Olympic National Park. The department, in cooperation with the Parks Department, has worked hard to remove that population of mountain goats from the area, and an area that they were doing well in the Olympic National Park. And this was done at great expense to the taxpayers and in a process that was stressful to the goats. They were translocated into an area in which they haven't traditionally done well, the Cascades. And this was ostensibly done because the mountain goats aren't native to the Olympic National Park. And this argument that they were removed because they aren't native really holds no water when you consider how much time and energy the department spends ensuring non-native cows are allowed to continue grazing on public lands in eastern Washington. Furthermore, if these goats were indeed so detrimental to the environment of the Olympic National Park, why wasn't the option of using chemical birth control to more gradually and humanely reduce their numbers even considered? Based on the correspondence I got through a FOIA request, that option was not included in the ESA because neither the department nor the Parks Department wanted the public to even consider that option. Instead, these goats were captured and translocated to the Cascades so hunters would have the opportunity to hunt them later. This entire process has been stressful to the goats, and the remainder in the Olympics will now be gunned down. This entire operation wasn't being done with the best interests of the goats and the environment in mind. It seems that this was done so there'd be more goats in the Cascades for hunters to go after. I do feel that the department has failed this particular population of goats and the members of the public that enjoyed seeing them in the Olympic National Park. Thank you very much for your time.
Rachel, would you hold on a minute? Is there somebody on staff that could speak to this? This was an issue, I believe, that was raised by the Park Service and the danger to the public in the mountains and doing hiking and stuff in the Olympic. There was more to this than I think you just brought up, but I don't think it was WDFW that instigated that. Could someone speak to that?
Yeah, I can speak to that.
Go ahead, Brian.
This was initiated by the National Park Service, and it was a federal policy that they have in place for their national parks, where they don't want to manage, allow the propagation or increasing of non-natives, and mountain goats were non-native to the national park. Obviously, just outside the park, there were also goats. And so for that to be successful, all goats needed to be removed, including those that were on U.S. Forest Service lands. There was an extensive public review process that went into that. It took several years to get that EIS developed. And we had a need for more mountain goats in the North Cascades. And so instead of just lethally removing all those goats, there was an opportunity for us to assist with that effort and actually bolster some of our mountain goat populations in the North Cascades. You talked about expense. It was a very expensive endeavor, but to go attempt to do a birth control type of approach would have been even more expensive than the approach that was taken.
Brock, if I may, is my memory serving me correctly that there was some people injured by the billies running into people that were utilizing the park?
Yes, that's true. That wasn't a main driver for why, they wanted to remove mountain goats from the park.
Yeah, that did hit the news though. So
yes.
Rachel, I just wanted to try and get a little more on the table there for all of us. So thank you. Go ahead.
Sorry, I do appreciate that. I did participate in the public process and I did read the entire ESIA, and I am aware of that it was the Parks Department initiating, but it was in partnership with the department. So I'm pretty up to date on the issue.
I figured you were. Thank you so much for your comments today. Nikki, next, please.
Next, we're going to go to Bob Harriman. Go ahead, Bob. Make sure to unmute yourself. Go.
I didn't have anything for open comment.
time. I had it for agenda 14, 15, 16, and 18.
No problem. I can mute you and move on. Okay, so next we will go to, let's see, Greg King. Let's see if Greg's on yet. No, okay, we'll go now to, let's see. Let's go to Rachel Heyman. Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, hello. I'm Rachel Heyman. I live in Clickitat County, and I'm looking to update you on what's going on with our cougar situation there. Just this month, as a consequence, direct or indirect, of the sheriff's program, three more cougars have been killed, and none of these cougars had depredated on any livestock, pets, or shown any aggression to people. One of them was eating a deer, and two of them were taking cover underneath structures. I guess what I really want to say is I feel that nothing is being done to stop this ongoing killing of more and more of our cougars. We're up to 24 in 19 months that are a combination of the sheriff directly killing them or urging property owners to kill any cougar that enters their property. You know, if cougars can't kill deer or take cover, I don't know how they're supposed to be able to survive. This is not the 19th century, and game management must be science and fact-based. And the sheriff's essentially lynching our cougars just for being cougars and using hounds to find them to do it. And I feel that WDFW has to stand up to them and stop this. And the game division is not doing this. And in fact, in December, when Anise Audi was asked if he would close our hunting season for cougars just to try to stem this killing, he said, no, it wouldn't be fair to hunters. Well, what about the cougars and all the other people who don't want to see them decimated? Because our landscape, according to your scientist, is supposedly supports about 50 adult cougars. So now we've had 24 cougars killed. We also know that when we kill cougars, we just create vacant territories into which young cougars come. So now in this month is a month when young cougars are dispersing from their mothers and trying to find territory. And as they cross these open fields of Eastern Washington in our area, they're in unfamiliar terrain. And in daytime, if they get caught out in those fields, they may take cover under, you know, somebody's structure. That doesn't mean they need to be killed. So what I want to know is how you are going to do something. The sheriff doesn't even, they don't even call, and they don't have property owners call DFW first. It's just, you know, shoot first and call WDFW later. So I don't like Audi's position on this, and I don't like the fact that nothing whatsoever has happened to help the situation on the part of DFW. And that's what I have to say this morning. Thank you for your time, and I hope you'll be able to do something to help us, because the people of Clickitat County can't do anything about this. The sheriff has all the power. The state must help us. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Commissioner Smith, we generally are trying to keep commissioner comments until the end of the public comment period. Do you have something that you need to say right now, or can it wait until we're done?
Unmute yourself, Lorna.
I was going to ask Chair Carpenter if someone from the department could respond to that, either now or I would like an update on the situation. I see Commissioner Koontz nodded his head too.
Are you expecting an answer now, or do you want to take it offline?
I guess we could take it offline.
Okay.
Although I think the public would like to hear that answer too at some point.
I don't. Okay. Anyone from staff want to take a quick shot at that? And Commissioner McKaysey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought our kind of protocol on this was we could ask questions of clarification of people that are testifying and to save commissioner debate on the implications of public testimony at the end and ask staff to clarify things on a factual basis at the end. But also give people who like Mr. Gardner, who doesn't actually need more time to think about it. But anyway, give him more time to think about it. But I think over the course of this, we may have several matters that come up right. in public testimony. We'd like to discuss the implications of whether we want to do something about it or not. And it might, our protocol was to wait to the end on that.
Yep.
I want to ask a question of the person who testified. What exactly did she mean by this or that? That would be fair game now.
Okay, I think she's off the call now. All right, I do agree with that. So if we may, Nikki, let's move on.
Okay, next we're going to go to Greg King, followed by Lynn Mason. Go ahead, Greg.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Good morning, Chair Carpenter, Director Sue Swin, Commission. My name's Greg King, Sportsman, Washington State. I'm a little upset from yesterday's PoundNet conversation. I'm here to help and support the department the best I can. I don't get on social media and bash the department or the commission or anything like that. I'm here to work. But when I hear blatant lies of zero mortality, it just bends me. I heard Commissioner Smith say that there was a 95 to 97% survival rate. That means that there is a mortality rate in there somewhere. We heard Commissioner McIsaac talk about the mortality rate. We heard Director Suswin talk about the mortality rate. We heard about TAC and their decisions that they need to make. I'm not here, and I have made mistakes in testimony and been corrected by commissioners and staff, and I can take that. But I'm here to try to better our state and make our state a better state for hunting and fishing and for sportsmen. And it seems like we need to make fish and we need to get back to the way we used to be. I mean, I'm not saying out Johnny Appleseed the whole state with fish, but you know, 170 million fish aren't being produced in Washington State. We got sea lions and bird predation that just way out of hand. We can't get a budget because we have groups fighting against in over the Capitol, killing our budget every year. We need a strong budget so we have a great fish and wildlife program in Washington State like we used to. It seems like we have all this bickering over wild and hatchery, and the hatchery fish are going to get us out of this. We can use those to recover wild fish. So I just want to let you know that I'm in a whole total 100% supporting this department. And try to work with you guys. But we need to get on a better path here, not micromanaging the department and stop and start producing some fish. Anyway, that's my public comment this morning. And sorry if I'm getting emotional, but I hate seeing lies.
Thank you for your comments, Greg. Next, Nikki.
Next, we have Lynn Mason, followed by Reveille O'Leary. Go ahead, Lynn.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. This is Lynn Mason. I'm calling from Klickitat County. I've been a resident here for over 20 years. What we are seeing here in this county is very different than anything we've seen before, and it's deeply disturbing. Last month, I spoke to you about reports from the Klickitat County Sheriff's Office, and I'd like to follow up on this. The Sheriff's Department data is showing that WDFW is not being called to address cougar incidents in our county. Between September 2020 and January 2021, the Klickitat County Sheriff's Office reports show that the Sheriff's Office does not call Fish and Wildlife until after the fact. In addition, the Sheriff does not advise citizens to call Fish and Wildlife. The Sheriff tells people to call the Sheriff's Office as soon as a cat or its tracks are seen so that they can track and kill it. Clickitat County Sheriff's Office stance is that all cougars on private property are inherently public threats. That all property owners and sheriff's office personnel are entitled and urged to shoot the cougars if they can, without any attempt to involve WDFW other than delivering the carcass to them. Basically, what is happening is that every cougar that is seen and reported will get killed, mostly just for being seen, not an actual public threat. My second point I want to make is that the sheriff is spreading a campaign of fear to justify and promote his dangerous predator program. He's making people afraid and eager to report cougars and see them killed. We are citizens trying to counter this fear-mongering with fact by addressing it with our county commissioners, writing letters to the editor, and putting information on the internet. How can WDFW help us to get truthful information out to the public, to educate the public, and counter this fear-mongering? Finally, what I'm just going to say, sum this up, is that the sheriff is doing this to flex his muscle. He considers himself the ultimate authority in our county and has said so. He's doing this to exercise his anti-government sentiment and follow through with his constitutional sheriff prerogative. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments today, Lynn. Next, Nikki.
Next is Reve O'Leary, followed by Gabriel Gilbert. Go ahead, Reve.
Thank you, Nikki, and good morning, commissioners. My name is Reve O'Leary. I'm a business owner in Forks, Washington. I would like to provide public comment on coastal fishery issues. As you know, the remainder of the coastal wild steelhead season is coming to a premature end on Wednesday for the Olympic Peninsula. Although we are disappointed in the management decisions and communication from the department this year, all we can do is hope for better things going forward. I do have a couple more issues I'd like to bring forward to you today. Throughout this process, we've felt there's been a lack of solid data provided to the public. We still don't have an answer on why, if original modeling showed no early closures and selective fishing from a boat would still achieve all four management objectives, the department needed to overregulate and shut down all fishing from a boat and enact early closures for the Olympic Peninsula. The director couldn't answer that question. His technical staff couldn't answer that question, but yet we now have closures looming. Additionally, these decisions are made being made without true understanding of their impact or effect on the fishery. When asked about the adaptive management objectives, the response was they were trying to reduce effort to get runs back up to escapement goals across the area. But that measure of success is difficult, and there's a lack of metrics surrounding encounters and mortality. So instead, the effectiveness will be measured by when the forecast numbers start going up. As you can imagine, the intricacies of the fishery to determine run returns, let alone the run forecasts, I feel this is very unacceptable, and I equate it to the analogy of throwing mud at a wall, and eventually some of it will stick. I expect the better of the department, especially when it concerns the economic viability of small businesses and rural communities, and you should as well. The data I'm struggling to get from the department in a timely fashion is information on the Quileute system in Ho River, including expanded creel data, catch estimations, run forecasts, run size numbers, the angler impact done on the creel survey in 2019-20, and the tribal harvest numbers. Many of these should be no-brainers and should have been things that were already readily analyzed in this decision. Any help you guys can provide to get that information would be greatly appreciated. The second issue I'd like to bring to your attention is the uncertainty I have around the upcoming season for hatchery spring Chinook, which typically kicks off on May 1st. The March 3rd emergency rule for steelhead change stated the Solduck and Quileute would remain closed through May 28th, and a subsequent update to that rule on March 9th changed it to say until further notice. So as it stands now, we are not sure what the department's intention is with beginning the hatchery spring Chinook season. Direct questions posed to the department have remained either vague or not answered at all. We are hoping that the department would be interested in giving us some clarity and transparency, given everything going on for this fishery in this area, and we hope that can happen. Lastly, I've applied for a rulemaking review that should have been distributed to you. I appreciate you looking at that, and I'm available anytime if you have any questions. Thank you so much for your time.
Hold on, Rave. Commissioner McIsaac has a comment or question, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, a question. You mentioned the spring Chinook time frame of May. What is your understanding of the time frame when spring Chinook are normally fished in that area?
So the season actually typically opens earlier, but bait is banned until May 1st. So that's when they really don't bite anything else. So that is when the season really starts going gung-ho May 1st. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rave, for your comments. Next, Nikki.
Next, we have Gabriel Gilbert, followed by Stephanie Taylor. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Gabrielle Gilbert, and I am coming out of Klickitat County, and I want to discuss Sheriff Songer's policy in relation to the depredation that's happening with the cougars. I want to express that yesterday, or on Friday, I believe, you had discussions about your policy 5004. You practice conservation, managing, protecting, and restoring ecosystems for the long-term benefit of people and fish, wildlife, and their habitat. And Klickitat County is the cougars' habitats, and they are not being protected because the situation with Sheriff Songer's policy, it's based on sighting a cougar. It's not particularly based on the depredation that a cougar may be doing to someone's property or their domestic animals or their livestock. And we have an article in the Goldendale Sentinel, in which the sheriff states that he considers the cougars a serious public safety concern. Cougars and bears are a major concern and problem for the farmers and ranchers in the county. And you have to understand that when the sheriff became clear that he could create the policy, it was based on a rancher coming and showing him the RCW that has this gaping loophole on what is considered a threat and how you would address a wildlife threat. The situation here is the mere sighting of a cougar is its death warrant. And for us here in Klickitat, we are the public. We are part of that public trust that wildlife belongs to no one. And it is our place as a public to protect it. And these are the voices that are coming to you from Klickitat to say that this policy is so flawed. There is an RCW that explicitly says fish and wildlife, your enforcement is equal to that of what we have in the county with sheriff and police. And what we are asking is that fish and wildlife step up as an equal enforcer to protect these animals. And for this cautionary tale of a constitutional sheriff who literally gets on the radio and spews anti-government sentiments because he is entrenched in that. And he hides behind a We the People constitution that literally allows him to say that he is going to flout his power over a state agency. And So I just want to say that we need you and we need your impact in an equal way. One quick thing, public speaking is something that is sacred and there should be no parameters around it. I just have to say that in relation to what you first spoke about public speaking. So thank you so much for your time. And please, Klickitat is not going away and you don't want it to metastasize throughout the state. So we need you and we'll keep coming asking for you. Thank you,
Gabrielle, for your comments today. Next, Nikki.
Next, we got Stephanie Taylor, followed by David Lynn. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning. Sorry, good morning, commissioners. I'm Steph Taylor, and you heard from me a couple times yesterday. It was a heavy agenda, And so my organization is going to submit some written comments on those topics yesterday for you all. The one thing I just want to mention real quick here this morning and not take up too much time is that, you know, we would request that for future meetings that the agenda be organized in a way that really allows the full participation of public comment. We do see the importance of the 3 minutes, even when listening to, you know, our opposition. We feel like it's important for everyone to be able to, regardless of what side of the issue you're on, everyone deserves their full time to participate. So we would just ask, you know, it's happened the last few months that in the future, it would be great if the agenda were scheduled in a way that allowed full participation of public comment. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Steph.
Appreciate you.
Next, Nikki.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon me, I didn't see your hand. Commissioner McIsaac, please.
Yes, thank you. I didn't understand your testimony about how the agenda should be reorganized to do exactly what again? Could you repeat what you're asking for and why?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So an example, yesterday, you know, there were multiple agenda items that allowed for public comment opportunities. And as was done, you know, we needed to rearrange some of the agenda items to carry over because the time has been running out and we've had to cut down, you know, public comment from 3 minutes to 2 minutes. And, you know, I just think that there's heavy hitting items that we know that are going to require a lot of time for the public comment. And I think we just need to be able to organize that in a better way.
Okay.
Did I?
Yeah. Now I understand it.
Okay.
If we had done things perfectly, there would have never been a drop down to 2 minutes. And I understand.
There's no way that we're going to be able to do things perfectly every time. I'm just suggesting that maybe we try to mitigate that so that everyone is allowed their full time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Steph, this is Larry Carpenter. I appreciate your comments. We have been working hard on trying to fine tune the agenda to accomplish your business and our business. And we haven't hit the ball out of the park yet, but we're going to keep working on it. So thank you for your comments.
I agree. It's gotten much better. Thank you, Larry, or Chair Carpenter.
You bet. Okay, Nikki, thanks. Next, please.
Okay, next we have David Lynn, followed by, let's see, let's go do David Lynn. I didn't see the last two people yet. So go ahead, David.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm David Lynn, and I apologize for not being able to present my comments yesterday. As hard as I tried, I couldn't come up with an articulate way to express myself regarding hunting rules survey and did not want to waste your time with a poor presentation. I think Martha Hall got it exactly right in explaining the problem with the survey. Her exceptional research and analysis clarified my thinking. So my conclusion was that the survey should have a broader range of input from the public at the start before it is published. And with the current survey alternatives, they were just too narrowly defined for me to have any real choices. I would like to express my agreement with the testimony given yesterday by several speakers about the ill-advised black bear hunt. Through Initiative 655, the cruel practices of baiting and hounding were banned, but it seems that over the years, the department found ways to defy the will of the voters and issued permits to private individuals on timber farms using these illegal tactics. Because of the investigations by King 5 News and litigation brought by the Center for Biological Diversity, these activities were revealed to the public. Given the department's history in this manner, there's bound to be some mistrust among the public about whether the department has truly reformed itself. So I'd like to ask the commissioners to closely monitor the department to give us the assurance that the department is and will remain in compliance. This brings me to the matter of the unwarranted killing of cougars by the sheriff in Klickitat County in defiance of the department's responsibility to protect our wildlife. It has been well reported what is happening there, and it appears to be that the mere existence of a cougar is deemed to be a risk to public safety and therefore subject to being killed on site. The sheriff apparently feels that the department will not enforce its own rules. And this is unacceptable, and the department needs to stop the killing immediately. Here are a couple suggestions. First, get the state's attorney general involved in this matter to assert the department's authority. And two, if he persists, do not issue any hunting permits in that region or in that county until the killing is stopped. That should get their attention. And finally, in the director's comments yesterday, he referenced plans for the upcoming grazing season and mentioned the cattle producers of Washington and their role in the process. Last year, the CPOW said that their people were not range riders, but rather conflict monitors, and that their role was not to prevent conflict, only to find the results of conflict. If that is still the case, the department cannot rely upon them to act as a non-lethal deterrent for preventing conflict. You may recall the incidents with the Lead Point Wolf pack last summer. The CPOW conflict monitors were assigned to protect the cattle grazing there, and they were completely ineffective in preventing conflict. They did succeed, however, in getting the director to place a kill order in the pack. That is not helpful. Thank you for your time.
David, would you hold on a minute, please? Vice Chair Baker has her hand up.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Carpenter. David, my question has to do with the first part of your remarks where you talked about the survey and our outreach efforts. And I kind of was wondering about that yesterday and intend to ask a couple of questions later. But my specific question is, where do you access the surveys when you were attempting to answer them? Is it on something that is fed into your social media or something that you go to?
I went to the survey on the department's website and I made several attempts to go through it and answer it as best I could, but I found that that the choices really didn't mean much to me, that as far as providing any useful input, I had a really hard time. So I just sent an email to the department saying certain broad concepts about it. But I tried to answer it, and I went three or four times I tried, and I just couldn't get anything done. And then the problem I had Thursday night in trying to put my comments together for Friday was it was so broad and nebulous that I had a really hard time focusing on the real issue. And I think Martha really, her comments really got me thinking correctly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Baker. Thank you, David, for your comments today. Nikki, next, please.
Okay, our last two is Mark Alberts, followed by Adrian Tui. So Adrian, if you're on the phone, please make sure to raise your hand. Go ahead, Mark. You've been unmuted. Make sure to unmute your end too. There you go.
Good now?
Yep, you're good.
Right. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Mark Alberts, and I live in beautiful, sunny Seattle, Washington. I want to thank you all, the commissioner and the agency staff, very much for your hard work on these issues. And I know finding the balance among all constituency groups is not easy, but it's what you strive to accomplish in your leadership roles. I stand before you today digitally because after listening on the sidelines to the proceedings for the past few days, I felt compelled to stand up and speak up for what I believe is important: the protection of our shared American heritage of hunting and trapping. I speak as a first-generation American born in the country to the Dutch immigrant and a Puerto Rican, and my family is not what you would call a traditional American hunting background. Nevertheless, I'm amazed at what I've heard some folks chiming in on these webinars about the perception that hunting is not a valid tool to utilize by the state's wildlife agency for striking a balanced approach to wildlife species management. Unlike back in my father's home country in Europe, where only the rich barons could utilize the sport of game chasing, here in the US of A, the North American model of conservation is exactly why we have abundant, sustainable species of game and non-game animals in the country today. It was the sportsmen and women that stood up to the challenge nearly 100 years ago to tell the government to fundamentally change the way we view wildlife. It's not a resource to be abused. It is a sustainable resource to be protected and respected. Hunters and trappers know that better than anyone else walking the woods. That's a fact. Hunters and trappers are the ones who stood up and said, tax me, tax my guns and ammo, tax my bows and arrows so that I might help fund important wildlife research and science for the betterment of the species. Regulate my harvest bag limit, set my hunting season, for I wish to see ducks in the sky and elk and moose and whitetail in the mountains for an eternity on this land. I will conclude my remarks by reminding everyone that the state has an obligation to manage all wildlife for the public trust and for public benefit. And the main driver of this management is not hyper-political passions. It's simply to follow the science. For example, it's not up to anyone to simply question, how many snow geese would one hunter really take in a day? Well, my friends, when the science tells us that snow geese are so abundant at this time in history that they are headed for a crash course in eating themselves out of their own habitat if their population is left unchecked, the science sets the daily bag limit so liberally. So this, it's a science-based decision, and thank God for that. As someone who works hard, pays taxes, and does not own private land, and rely solely on public hunting lands in order to pursue my outdoor passion of lawfully harvesting delicious, sustainable, organic wild game meat, I am deeply concerned when I hear comments that look to cast folks like me off of public lands who have been, I've been told, are for everyone to enjoy and recreate. You must remember to strike a balance for all users of public land, the bird watchers, hunters, and trappers alike. There's room for all of us out here in Washington State. Public hunting and trapping are valid, well-regulated tools that should absolutely be used to help solve our wildlife management challenges where applicable, and will always be guided by the best science. Of that, I'm sure. Thank you to the work of the commission, and God bless Washington and the United States of America.
Thank you for your comments today, Mark. Okay, last one, Nikki.
That's all I have. I do have Jason Lake's hand up, but he didn't pre-register, so.
Okay, that concludes open public comment for this morning. We have some open discussion from the commission. I understand that from Deputy Winthrop that Cassina Lee is available to address some of the click-a-tat issues. Is that correct, Amy? Okay, could we start with that and then go from there? Other comments?
All right. Good morning, Chair Carpenter, commissioners. I apologize. I was having some computer fan issues, so I missed the beginning of public comment, but I came on during Ms. Giffords' testimony. So I'm going to try and speak to what I heard and kind of give you our perspective on what's happening in click-a-tat right now, where we've been and where we're hoping to go. So I did get a question at some point about whether we had a written policy from the Click-a-Tat County Sheriff's Office, and we do in fact have a written policy, and our captain Wickersham was able to see that policy as the sheriff was drafting it. I heard some suggestion that we consult with our attorneys, and we did that at the time that we saw the policy being drafted and implemented, and you know, looked at what our options were, and we were advised that the sheriff did have clear authority to act in the interest of public safety and property, and that courts have historically broadly interpreted that, and therefore, from that perspective, the sheriff would be able to implement this policy. And so we felt like our best approach was to try and work with the sheriff so that we could get calls when they were responding to a cougar, get the reports in a timely manner so that our wildlife conflict specialists could follow up with landowners. We still believe that the best way to address this is to get to the source, to do education for folks who need some help with animal husbandry, some advice on practices, some resources. So, and we need the biological data from cougar removals. So we tried to kind of wrap our arms around it that way. Make ourselves really available. And just one other thing I want to flag is the importance of our enforcement team being able to work well with local law enforcement, especially in these rural counties where you have, you know, vast geographic expanses that we may have, you know, six officers to cover. And our officers do respond to general enforcement calls alongside local law enforcement. So those relationships are very important. People's safety is on the line. They need to trust each other and feel that they have each other's backs. And that's a reality on the ground that we do respect with regard to our enforcement folks. Setting them up to be in opposition to local law enforcement would be, you know, just, I think, a risk to everyone. And I think we all agree that's not a place we want to go. Public safety is very important. So we tried to work with the sheriff. We tried to set up a system where we would get a call whenever they were responding to a cougar. We would get, or, you know, if that didn't work, if we were not available, we would get the report immediately. We'd be able to have conflict staff respond quickly. All of those things we got initial agreement to. How that has played out in practice, I'll say it's been kind of disappointing. The timeliness of the reporting has not been what we had expected. I think whether that's deliberate or just record keeping issues, but that's been a challenge. We continue to try and coordinate because we feel like that's our best option. In many cases, the information we have on the removals that the sheriff's department has done, those are cats that we would likely have removed as well. I don't have the reports in front of me or my captain here, who is really the one to say whether we definitively would or would not have run hounds in cases where the sheriff's office ran hounds. But I think just to the point that the constituents are making, we share their frustrations. So we are actively working on this, and we have met with Ms. Giffords and several other constituents. They have shared a lot of records. They've shared some requests for things that they think we can implement. Our staff are actively reviewing those and working to set up another meeting to talk about what we can do, what we couldn't do statutorily. But we're definitely hearing them. There are also a lot of constituents in Klickitat County who just don't call us. They will call 911 and we don't get that report. So we don't get that opportunity to respond. And we're continuing to try and improve our outreach in the community so that folks do call us. We have conflict staff who, do presentations, do flyers, but it's tense, and COVID has made that harder. But prior to that, we had a conflict specialist giving a presentation in a library get shouted down by folks who felt that we weren't removing enough cougars. That was upsetting to the members of the community who were there to find out how to do proper husbandry practices and coexist with wildlife, because they were worried that too many cougars were being taken. So I know it's not news to you, commissioners, that there are really intense feelings on both sides of the spectrum of this issue. We are actively working with folks, both the sheriff's department, to try and just get better communication, continue to try and wrap our arms around that reporting piece so we can get our conflict staff out there promptly, and working with the community who really feel like we should be doing more, would like us to draw a line in the sand and just tell the sheriff, you may not do this. We just don't feel that we have, and it's not that we don't feel, we've been told specifically at this time, we don't have the authority to do that. I know there's been some talk about provisos in the legislature. I can't say what the status is or what the details are of those, but right now we're continuing to work with what we have to try and get the best outcomes we can.
And Christina, if I could interrupt you for a second, thank you.
I'm done.
Well, thank you. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us, first of all. But I wondered if any of my colleagues on the commission have a question or two for you. If so, I see Commissioner Kuntz has his hand up.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't have the legal authority to take more direct action. But we are setting 3-year adjustments of game regulations. And I'm wondering, Christina, from a regional biologist or manager perspective, what do you think about a response being in the setting the harvest limits for cougars, that we include the animals in the state that are killed for depredation and include the cougars taken by the sheriff in that number? I think the last 2 years, the number is approaching 90 to 100 cougars that we either lethally remove or the sheriff. It's probably over 100. And yet these animals aren't considered in the guidelines for the cougar harvest. So that is one change that we could make now. And it would be at least a step in a direction to manage the overall cougar population. So what do you think about that from a regional manager's perspective?
Chair Carpenter, Commissioner Kuntz, that's a great question. I'm going to opine just as much as I feel comfortable, and then I'm going to defer to Eric Gardner and Anise. But what I will say is that, we do account for other mortalities in the game management plan, and based on the behavior of some of these cougars, it's entirely likely and possible that they would have died from some cause, because their behavior is such that they were in an area where they shouldn't be or didn't have a territory. The extent of what I'm comfortable saying, since I'm not a cougar biologist, is not all of those mortalities are additive to what we do account for. And so should we be considering it? Absolutely. In some way, we should take it into account. We do, like I say, account for other mortality. And so I'm not sure. And again, this is where I would hand the baton to Eric or Anise to go into more depth on that. But I don't think all of these cougar removals would be additive to the mortalities we do account for now.
Well, I just responded to that quickly that, you know, I think in the past when the numbers of lethal removals were much lower, you know, that discussion about whether they're additive or compensatory, you know, kind of wasn't so important. But when you reach a number like 100, you're getting to, you know, 3-4% of the population, it makes a huge difference. And, you know, also it is kind of ironic that one of the 12 spots where there's the most deer collisions in the state recorded by the Department of Transportation is right there, probably 3 miles from the sheriff's office. So just the irony of it all. So again, I understand and the public's frustration with the way the legalities are. You know, we'd have to wait till the legislature made a change, and we can't do that. That's their prerogative. But we do right now set the hunting guidelines for the next 3 years. And you could argue all day about whether it's additive or compensatory, but it would also show the public that's so concerned about this that we did make a response. So that's why I think we have the opportunity to make a difference and to respond to the public, and especially those people that are so concerned. And I share their frustration, and I'm sure you do too.
Thank you, Commissioner Kuntz. We have one more commissioner on this agenda item, and then I think we need to go to the general commission on any follow-ups on public comment. Commissioner Smith.
I'll be quick. I want to underscore what Commissioner Kuntz said, we have been informed by I believe it was management in the past, that they didn't have a good way to account for removals for public safety in setting season limits. And as Fred said, as Commissioner Kuntz said, that wasn't so important before, but with numbers like we're seeing here out of Klickitat County, I agree, we're at the point where we need to consider that. But furthermore, I really think, you know, as somebody that came out of the outreach and education field for large carnivores, we really need to ramp up our activities in that regard. Cooperating with, you know, local groups, we really need to do a better job. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. I have one item I want to bring up to, I guess, the director, because I don't think we're going to get an answer today. I don't think we have staff on board to do that. That has to do with the public comment on the coastal hatchery spring Chinook issue. I'd like to know next week why it's closed, when and why, because we were dealing with a steelhead issue. And when we get into May, that's past the steelhead management time. So can you get an answer, Kelly, next week from whoever you choose? And you don't need to respond now. I'll go on to Commissioner McIsaac and other commissioners. We get an answer at the appropriate time, please.
Well, actually, I would like to respond, Chair.
Okay.
I think we need to be cautious of you know, taking testimony. We should listen to it, but not presume it's 100% accurate. We are working closely with the co-managers to try to establish that spring Chinook season. We have proposed to them alternatives to have it open. You know well that we manage that jointly with our co-managers. So we have not opened it yet, but the notion that it just remains closed is not accurate until we've complete our discussions with the coastal managers. I'll get over my skis if I go much further than that, because I know that we haven't given them proposals. I've lost track of where we're at on a response, but I would be happy to respond next week with a more thorough detailed response to the question.
Oh, no, thank you for that. I wasn't assuming anything. I was just seeking some clarification, and at someone's leisure next week, that would be appropriate. Thank you for your comments. Director McIsaac, and then, Commissioner McIsaac, and then Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for correcting the record on my title. It's the last chair I want to be sitting in. No, but you asked my question. I had wondered whether or not the spring Chinook run in that area was a failure, and that's why it was closed or not. So I appreciate the question and the response, and I'm lowering my hand.
Commissioner Thorburn, please.
So I wanted to comment on something that I heard in the public testimony, and that was reference to our opposition. And listening to other similar testimony, I assume that's hunters and fishers and grazers and people who live in rural communities close to wildlife. This is conflict. It's not conflict that we're creating. It's conflict that our constituents are claiming. And it's... This particular meeting is devoted to setting hunting rules, which is a very important responsibility in statute of the commission. And it's pretty clear when we hear our opposition that there are a number of our constituents who want us to close that down, to violate our statutory responsibility. They've declared war on hunting and fishing. And it just distresses me to sit and listen to that kind of testimony. The failure to recognize that our responsibility to the public trust is to all Washingtonians, not animal rights people who are against hunting and fishing only.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner Linville, and then Commissioner Baker, Vice Chair Baker, after Commissioner Linville.
Sort of building on Commissioner Thorburn's comment, well, maybe not even building on it, maybe clarifying in my mind a little bit, is we heard a few comments yesterday that the department does not have a mandate to take into account hunters and fishermen and women. And we very specifically do. We have RCW 77.04.012 that tells us the commission shall attempt to maximize the public recreational game fishing and hunting opportunities for all citizens. And that is something that we do manage under. And I think that gets a little bit forgotten. And we are, when we are setting hunting seasons and hunting regulations, we are following that RCW, and it's a very important one. And I just wanted to highlight that a little bit, because we've heard multiple times that that isn't the case, and it is.
Thank you, Commissioner Linville. That was well stated. Vice Chair Baker, and then Commissioner McIsaac.
So I agree with what Molly just said. I just want to point out that this is open public input, and we listen to people that some of us agree with and some of us disagree with every single time a comment is made. What we do with those comments is up to us individually and ultimately us as a commission. But I don't think it's right or fair for us to categorize comment and judge it. I certainly try not to do that. I take it in. And I think that we offer our constituents an unparalleled in my view, opportunity to talk to us directly and talk to the director directly in state government. It is amazing. So when people kind of complain about not getting to talk enough or not getting to talk repeatedly, what I think about is, for all my years in state government, I have never seen an agency that is this front-facing and that does offer these opportunities. So I would ask us not to lump individuals together. They may lump themselves together on any side of any of these issues, but it's our job to listen, and that's what we should be doing right now. Secondly, on the issue of Cougar, I completely understand Cassina's brave response, and it is very difficult. What's hard about this is that we haven't had an opportunity to sit down as a commission with enough time to actually have a position on it. We all have individual positions. I know I have a very strong one, but so we can't say, well, our commission feels like whatever on this, because we haven't had that discussion. I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I know that there have been ideas about how to address this issue in court, and the issue being whether just the sighting, the inherent presence of a cougar, is a public safety or not, and who gets to decide that. There's been thoughts about handling that in court, and there are current thoughts about handling that in the legislature, which is, in my mind, where it really needs to happen. So so I just want to say that maybe once in a while, and each one of us is careful when we are talking to groups, or right now talking to whoever's listening, not to say our position is, because until we take a vote on something, we don't know what our position is. And on the Cougar issue, I just want to explain to the constituents that there is a lot of frustration. We don't have a position because we haven't sat down and decided that one is coming out of our commission, but we understand the frustration. I think that's what I want to get a point across pretty clearly.
Thank you, Vice Chair Baker. Commissioner McIsaac will be the last one, I think, before we move into our next agenda item, please. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my comment is on the Cougar situation as well. And as Commissioner Baker has indicated, it's been a high profile issue now for us since March of 2019 at a Spokane meeting, I think. My question is a little procedural. The matter of setting cougar seasons and accommodating peripheral impacts that's been discussed here. When I look at what we have in front of us as agenda items for the hunting seasons, I'm having some difficulty figuring out where that would fit in. I see hunting boundaries, hunting restrictions and equipment, fur bearers and small game, upland game birds, black bear, waterfall, migratory game bird seasons, landowner hunting permits, bighorn sheep, moose, mountain goat, deer, and elk. And I scratch my head and remember that we had a special attention on some cougar situations that resulted in pretty focused discussion about the scientific information at hand, the scientific uncertainty, and the seasons. So it's a procedural question. I don't know if it goes to the director or who, but is the question of cougar hunting before us here in this March and April hunting regulation, traditional 3-year package consideration?
If I may, I see Anise has his hand up. Kelly, if you don't mind, I'll let him go first and you can do the follow-up.
I think that's a wise choice, Chair.
Okay. Anise?
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. The cougar hunting season is not before you, and that's for a good reason. We just went through a very extensive process to change that rule last year, and we had committed to letting it let that play out at least for a couple of seasons before we look at it again, provided that we are redoing the game management plan and we will address cougar management as more holistically during that process. Now, that was what the commission direction was at the time. If there is a change in that direction, you know, we would be glad to bring the rule up in front of you again, if that's the wish of the commission. But at the time that we did it last year, it was a lot of process. We did it out of sync from the 3-year season setting because of the because the commission asked us to. And so that was the direction at that time. If the direction has changed, you know, please let us know and we will act accordingly.
Thank you for your comments. Commissioner McIsaac, did that answer your question for the moment?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? I don't see anything. Thank you all. I thought that was a very good group of discussions. We will now move back into yesterday's agenda.